Yo, 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 everybody. What's going on? I don't know what Steven's doing. Welcome to episode 10 of Unfiltered. I'm your host, Champman V, and joining me as always is Destiny over here. What's going on, Steven?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Oh, man, I forgot to tweet. Let me tweet real quick before we get started here.
Unreal,
social,
dude.
Social marketing, man. We gotta do it. Gotta do it, man. 1 second, guys. And, well, while I'm doing this, what we're doing today is we are having you guys come on here and interview us. A little bit different than the whole Q&A that we typically do. So we're actually going to have two of you guys come on here and be the interviewer for the day. Kind of take my job for the day. And what the kind of process that we went through is that folks were sent us in or emailed me a bunch of questions or question sets. And I kind of just chose the best ones from the ones that were sent in. Big thanks to all you guys that did send them in. And so our interviewers today are going to be Kewen and Kaoken. But we're going to start off with Kewen, who's online with us right now. What's up, Kewen?
Good evening.
Those you might know, Kewen, he's been on some of my, you've called in some of my other shows, or you call in regularly on, I think, CTL.
I call in a lot.
Yeah, he definitely does. So why don't you introduce yourself? Like, where are you from and all that good stuff?
I'm 19 years old. I'm from Denmark, and I'm going to study personal or PR in Copenhagen.
All right.
That's basically it.
All right. Good deal. Good deal. Steven, you ready for this?
Dude, I was born ready, man.
Oh, man. All right. Gonna hang on. Thankfully, Kewen is more the serious interviewer, and Kaoken will be the kind of trolley interviewer, I think. So. But Kewen, why don't you start off, man? You're interviewer for the day, so
all right.
Kick it off.
Yeah, this is for the both of you. We're going to start off with you, Steven. And it's kind of simple, but it's always, like, slightly a fun one. Describe yourself in three words.
What the fuck? What?
Oh, shoot, I remember this one. I should have looked over the questions a little harder.
I didn't even remember these. I got to look these things over again.
How about, like, I love video games, where video games is, like, a hyphenated. Does that count as one word?
I suppose that counts.
Or how about euphoric, and atheist?
Hey, euphoric and atheist?
Yeah.
That's kind of... I've seen more on a little. No.
You could have gone with, like, talented...
Hey, dude, I haven't gotten to mine yet, man. Let's see. Three words.
Stevens.
Oh, that was Stevens. Okay, I'm Stevens. All right.
Then let's take your three words.
My three words. To describe me? Oh,
yeah, yourself.
God.
If you had to describe yourself with three words...
God, gamer, lover, and father. How about that?
See, that's awesome.
They're fertile, gamer, and fun. Yes, I'm definitely fertile.
Beautiful.
I think we're both fertile, right, Steven?
I'm shedding tears of euphoria at how wonderful that was.
Well, Steven, let's go on to the next hard-hitting question. I'm going to start with you as well. If we're going to do this really simple, just as a quick intro to, let's say, some of the viewers don't know you. They probably do, but let's say they don't. Who are you? Like, just quickly. Who is Stephen Bonnell the second?
Oh, my God. That's impossible.
What? It's easy. I'm Stephen Bonnell. I play video games for a living. I stream all my games. Normally, I play League of Legends. Other times, I play other fun games. I can be loud and obnoxious, or I can be edgy and euphoric. And that's my stream in a nutshell. Brought to you at 1080p. There you go.
Okay. All right, it's my turn?
Yeah.
All right. My name is Chris Chan. I don't game for a living. I make games for a living instead. My stream's 720, brought to you by 720p, not 1080p. And, yeah, that's about it. I mean, not too much. Not too much else, actually. Got kids,
then.
Got family. That's all that good stuff.
What do you say is your strength then? Like, what is your strength as a person and what is your greatest strength?
Oh,
like, this could be in esports, this could also be in streaming as a producer. Like, obviously you're good at, like, multitasking and keeping this up since you produce this show, but, like, what would you say as a person is some of your other strengths?
Oh, shit. Do you mean to take this first? Oh, my God. Okay, this is, like, interview style. Holy shit. Like, what are my strengths? That's what the question is.
What's your
is,
biggest
right?
strength?
Biggest strength.
Yeah.
I think my biggest strength is probably prioritizing, kind of multitask/prioritizing things. especially in the daily, my daily routine, because I mean, I wouldn't be able to do these shows, honestly, if I wasn't good at that. So I think that's probably my greatest strength. I don't rage very much either, so it's really hard to get me mad. So I think that's probably a strength too. Steven, what's your greatest strength?
I have very thick skin. It's probably my greatest asset in this line of work.
Okay, well, I think those were the answers.
What would you say is your great? Yeah, sorry. What would you say is your greatest weakness then, Steven? I muted because I didn't want to interrupt you. I was mad.
I'm an asshole a lot sometimes. That's probably my biggest weakness.
That's also part of your persona. Chris, what about you?
My weaknesses? I think my weaknesses are probably, like, I'm not as ballsy as Steven is about a lot of things. I think that's probably a weakness. It's true.
Wow, thanks.
It's true, man. Like, you know, because Steven's so ballsy, like, you know, you end up getting a lot more stuff done sometimes in the community because of it. Whether it's, like, talking about topics, talking about issues, and that sort of thing, you know, a lot of things happen to be, like I was saying before when we started the show, a lot of discussions and things seem to start because of, you know, Steven kind of instigating these things. So, you know, I think that's, you know, can be viewed as a weakness on my part.
Yeah. Well, let's see. People are saying this is a bit slow paced, and let's jump on to some of the good ones. I would say, like, what is your one to interesting one? What made you pursue a career in gaming? Because you could have done a lot else. Let's just start with you again, Chris, because I know it's a fact you're a programmer and you could have done, like, a lot of other things, but you don't have to do these shows, but that you choose to do them. Like, what made you pursue and what motivates you to do this?
What made me to do the shows? Just mostly, well, A, I like them. I enjoy doing these. Like, if these were really tedious and just felt like work, I'd stop doing them. So, A, they're super fun for me to do them. I'm kind of the type of guy that likes to, like, hack things or just kind of do things with the least amount of effort, you know? And I feel like streaming is one of these things. Like, given how easy it is now, it's, like, really cool to basically accomplish, you know, what broadcasters do with a very, very little thing. So that kind of thing intrigues me. And I mean, I do these mostly because I feel like there's a lot of things that need to be talked about in the community, or that need really a voice. And I feel like a lot of, you know, nobody or a lot of other shows don't do this sort of thing. And you know, that's my main reason for doing it. It's I've kind of, like, taken on this role of being a very, very community-oriented guy, like, when it comes to the StarCraft II community. And I think, you know, I think that's kind of what I originally sought out to do with the shows and everything. And it's kind of going according to plan, so can't complain.
What about you, Steven? I mean, for you, it probably isn't gaming, but I'm wondering, like, what made you go into esports? Like, what made you, know you aren't a professional StarCraft player anymore per se, but, like, what made you go into professional StarCraft?
I've always been somebody that's played a lot of video games. It's what I usually always do with my free time. And then I started streaming, and I started making money from streaming, and everything kind of just flowed out from that pretty logically, I think.
All right. Is there anything or anyone specific that inspired you, Steven, like, to go into gaming, or is it just, like, because you're good at it and because you always did that?
I'm pretty individualistic. I don't really look to other people for inspiration, whether it's because I'm an asshole or whatever, I don't know. But no, I just kind of do things because I want to do them. There's not, like, any major figure where, like, God, I see him and I really want to do that, you know?
and there's nothing, like, that keeps you motivated other than, like, you like streaming and it's money, it's an income for you.
Wait, I'm sorry, could you say that again? I don't understand it.
Is there not, like, is there anything that then keeps you motivated to keep going on with streaming now, or is it just because you like it as a...
I mean, I like the attention I get off on that kind of stuff. And then I like playing games a lot. Like, that's still entertaining for me. So, and then I like getting paid. So, I mean, really, I like every aspect of it. There's nothing really that would make me stop. Like, I don't see myself ever going, like, man, I don't like making money playing video games, you know? I don't see myself saying that anytime soon.
Does it ever feel like work, Steven?
What?
Does it ever feel like work?
Nah, not even close.
Good deal. That's always a good sign.
I gotta ask you then, Steven, like, as I know you're a parent, I know Chris is as well, like, would you mind your child, I know it's probably a bit private, but do you mind your child pursuing a career in esports?
I know it's that's not it. pretty dumb. I mean, if he can make it work, though, that'd be cool. I guess I could probably help him out if he wanted to, but that's so many years down the road. I have no idea what the landscape would look like then.
Exactly.
Yeah, the same would go for you, Chris, but I suppose that's the same answer for you.
I think so, yeah. I mean, you know, one of the things that I've done on my show is just kind of, you know, try to, you know, unveil this kind of romanticism that's involved in esports and just pro gaming, right? And I think, you know, it's kind of more, I think it's clearer to the community than ever that it's not easy to be a pro gamer. So I think, you know, like, if I had a choice, you know, as to what my kids could do, I probably wouldn't pick pro gaming necessarily, but if he, like, loved it, then, you know, that's a different story. It's kind of like that typical answer, like, if your kids, you know, your kids will follow your passion type of thing, and I'm definitely about that. Yeah.
I thought I had to ask as well. But then, like, as you say, Chamad, you do this show for the communities and all your other great shows, but, like, what are your goals for your future, like, in gaming?
Oh, in this realm? Honestly, I don't have any goals. I don't have any goals mapped out. Like, you know, I think some people, when they're starting content, you know, they kind of, they do have, you know, things that they're striving for in terms of maybe getting a new gig or, you know, just starting their, just a big channel or, you know, just developing that sort of thing. I don't really have any long-term goals, I have to admit. It's kind of like weird for me to say that because I'm usually the complete opposite of that. But when it comes to this, I just see a bunch of shit that needs to get done, and I just want to get it done. You know, I don't have a plan to monetize this necessarily or anything like that.
Oh, my God.
What?
Just keep going. I just had the biggest fucking realization ever. I'm probably quitting League tomorrow.
Oh, when God. Let's hear this.
Dude, when you stream on Xbox Live, I just realized no one will be using Adblock.
Yep, that's right.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's talk about
if you could get 2,000 viewers on Xbox Live, that would be like 10 to 15,000 viewers on the internet. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
That's true.
That's insane. I just realized that. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
No, actually, let's dig into that because I have a question about that.
Yeah.
Let's go, like, you would want to talk about streaming. Then let's take the whole console war. As you just said, Xbox, funny enough, picked up Twitch and PlayStation picked up Ustream. But seemingly as all the hate that Xbox is getting, do you think it was the right choice for Twitch to go with Xbox and not with PlayStation, or just open up to both of them?
You know, unfortunately, I hate to say this, but most people are fucking stupid, and most people don't stick by anything they say having to do with anything, especially boycotts. So I'm the Xbox is probably still going to sell really well. You know, how many times have we seen people flame the shit out of EA? And how many people now are going to be buying, like, Battlefield 4 and all of whatever other EA games? Is The Witcher? Is that from EA?
The Witcher?
The next Witcher game?
I think it is, yeah.
Like, if it wasn't The Witcher, then there's one other really big game.
I think it's Dragon Age, you might be thinking about.
Oh, maybe the next Dragon Age.
Oh, yeah.
Battlefront.
Yeah.
Like, people are all going to be buying these games because they love these games. Oh, and Mirror Edge, too. Mirror's Edge, too. It's another one. So, I mean, like, people are going to be buying these games regardless of how much hate you see all the bullshit.
Well, it's
because
they're exclusives, man. Those games are exclusives, right? So,
yeah,
I mean,
sure.
That's a different story. They don't have a choice if they want to play those games.
They don't have a choice. Yeah, exactly. That's why they buy the Xbox, because they want to play the games on the Xbox, and they don't care about boycotting or whatever.
But, yeah. Steven, don't you think that Twitch already has such a big user base? Like, do you really think a lot of new people is going to start viewing Twitch only on the Xbox, and why not just go on the PC and, well, use Adblock?
I mean, streaming, we have to. It's really hard sometimes to keep in mind perspective because we're always drowned out in our own little worlds, but streaming is still a relatively minor thing. It's actually incredibly minor compared to, like, the gaming world at large. You know, when you talk about how, like, Call of Duty tournaments get, what, a few hundred thousand viewers? What was the big... Was it Black Ops 2? I don't even know, man. I remember watching some on Twitch or whatever.
Oh, you mean, like, recently? Because they did launch the button. Yeah, it was
Call
of Duty.
Within the past, like, 2 months.
It's Call of Duty, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. But like, those only get a few hundred thousand viewers, and they've shipped how many millions of units, you know?
Well, it just recently got added to Xbox Live, right? It's
I'm just saying that it's not like the streaming scene is saturated by any stretch of the imagination. So when you ask me, when you add Xbox Live, and do you think anybody else is even going to watch it? Yeah, I think it opens up the potential for lots more people because there are a lot of people who didn't even know things like streams exist who are going to be watching now because they have an Xbox. You know, I don't expect everybody with an Xbox to turn in, but it's just another way to get your foot in the door if you're a streamer. You know, you have that whole audience potentially open to you to watch a stream from a console.
Yeah, I am interested to see. Well, to answer your question first, Kevin, like, I don't know if they had a choice between Xbox and Sony. Like, is, I don't even know how, you know, exactly what happened there. Like, whether just, you know, Microsoft was just more responsive to their you know, sales team or what, right? But for sure, you know, Xbox, they've already done something with them, right? This past spring, or just, you know, launching that first Twitch button, right, on Call of Duty and everything. But so I don't know if it's exclusive or not, but on the console, it's going to be really great. I wonder how much you can adjust your overlay and stuff like that. They make it sound like there's some customization you can do, but that would be the main thing that I think would be much worse than using, you know, XSplit or OBS and streaming in that standpoint.
I think from a standpoint, I also just think that this just adds more viewers. I don't really think it opens up for a lot of new streamers, because, like, people that want to stream, they've already probably bought an AVerMedia card or so on. And as you said, you probably can't edit the interface. So if it opened up for people streaming, it would just be the game. There would be no overlay, like no sound levels or anything. It would just be
chat interaction would be really hard, and customization and everything. Yeah, I don't think there's probably not going to be a whole bunch of new people streaming. I'm sure some people will try it because they've never even heard of it before. But I mean, like I said, it'll be interesting to see. It's really hard to judge now, like, the impact of how many new viewers are going to come in and whatnot. All those viewers without ad block, though, is, like, making my mouth water. Holy shit.
Yeah, because there is going to be a viewer inside of the Xbox One. So that's the difference right now. Right now, there's no viewer. There's just a button that broadcasts to the Twitch site. So that's going to be the big difference. And ad block is a huge, huge issue. Oh, you did? Okay. But, so this could, I don't know, could potentially double, right? Double your revenue in some ways. If I mean, it would double your revenue, at least we had ad block for the current viewership.
Yeah, at least. Double or triple.
Yeah, maybe even triple, actually. So, yeah. So what game are you going to play then, Steven? If you're going to...
I don't know, man. Whatever the most popular one is. That's what we did with League, right?
Oh, such a game
whore,
dude. I can
tell you
that
they're releasing Diablo for the console soon.
It definitely won't be Diablo, because fuck Blizzard.
All right, then it won't be Diablo. Such a
big man. Okay.
So, yeah, Steven, this might go out to you as well then, because I really do want to know if you actually as well, like, do you sit down and make a plan or any goals for the future? Do you just, like, stream by day, week by week basis? Or is that different because you have a family and you provide for them? Like,
Every now and then I have a big powwow with some people. And kind of try to figure out where I'm going in the future, but for the most part, I usually generally know which direction I'm headed. Like I said, I've got my website. I've got, like, a little group of people right now working on my whole chat and subscriber system, and that's going into the site. I've been taking over. I finally have my YouTube channel off the ground, and I've been uploading content to that. So I mean, I've usually got a plan in my head. I'm not just doing everything, you know, as every day goes on. If that makes sense, I don't do everything on the fly. I usually have a plan in my head.
Yeah. All right, let's jump on to a new one then. This is kind of broad again, but, like, what do you think is good and bad about the game industry? And before, Steven, you can say your viewership, because I'm not going to allow you.
Good and bad about the game industry? That's, like, a really vague, broad, like, what do you mean? Can you get a
little
more specific?
Let's take about the eSport or the streaming industry then. Let's take the streaming industry.
It's still really broad. Can we get a little bit more specific?
About the Twitch TV community.
That's still really funny.
That's the same thing. You mean, like, the StarCraft II League of Legends base, or you mean...
Are you talking about, like, fans, or, like, platform, or, like...
I think fans.
I mean, haters are really annoying, and fans are really nice. Is that...
Yeah, I think, it might have been a too easy one. But, taking into consideration that E3 is going on, like, are any of you watching that?
I'm trying to catch it from here or there. I mean, mostly I'm looking at the blogs more than anything else.
What are you most impressed by so far then? And that could be anything from new consoles, new technology, Battlefield 4, new games.
Yeah, Battlefield 4 looks good. It's mostly games. I mean, the technology, you know, it's a lot of stuff that we've been hearing about for a while. I mean, I saw CES too, so it's nothing that's that crazy from that standpoint. You know, the PlayStation 4, you know, I think they had a pretty good pretty good presentation yesterday, and I mean, obviously, all that people are talking about is just how they blew the socks off of Microsoft's presentation, right? So, you know, looking forward to that. The price point's good, I think, for it. And, yeah, I mean, mostly just the games. I mean, I think Battlefield 4 looks like it might have some esports play, like a serious esports play. So I think that's pretty cool.
Anything specific for you, Steven, about E3, or haven't you watched anything?
I watched a lot of the Xbox presentation. I've been reading a lot of the blogs when I'm coming out about the PlayStation thing. Kind of like Chairman said, like, nothing was really too shocking in terms of the hardware side. Like, we've been hearing about the hardware, probably in more detail than what we heard at E3 and all the weeks leading up to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised that the Microsoft people managed to be that fucking stupid that they fucked their side up so terribly. PlayStation did a really good job capitalizing on it. I was worried that they would go full retard and manage to fuck everything up regardless, but
yeah, in their presentation they really took a lot of shots like at Microsoft, kind of indirectly, when they went to their, oh, you can sell games freely, here's how easy it is, you just sell the game to them and you get the money. They kind of like took pokes at Microsoft.
Yeah,
that was
sure.
Good. I mean, they should have. It was Sony played their E3 presentation really well. I'm really happy about that.
Definitely.
Like, I'm not sure if you two, do we have any opinion, like, on Xbox One versus PlayStation 4? It's like, it just doesn't matter for you, is that?
It's going to come down to games. Doesn't it always come down to games?
It's always down to games, honestly.
It's going to come down to games.
I mean, DRM and all that stuff is an issue, too, but I think, I guess, you know, cloud implementation could come into play, too. Just, like, if there's a lot of lag and shit like that, that's obviously going to be terrible for whichever platform doesn't do it well. But if all those things are equal, it's just titles. It's always about titles. And I mean, I think Xbox probably has always been a little bit ahead from the standpoint of that, just the exclusive titles. But I don't know. I see PS4 starting to get some more, and I think we'll. I don't know. I'm pretty bullish on the PS4 right now, so you know, we'll see. I've always been more of an Xbox guy, I have to say that, but PS4 is looking a little bit better right now, I have to say.
So you wouldn't say that the whole Reddit gaming / Circle Jerk and hate on Xbox One has changed any of your opinions?
It's all gonna come down to games, man.
People talk so much fucking shit,
but they're all full of shit. Everybody who talks about boycotting EA, but like I said, like, they're all full of shit. It's all gonna come down to which games launch on which systems.
There's no point in boycotting anything. I mean, there could be.
Like, it sends a message. It sends a strong message if it hurts your sales a lot, but you need a lot of people committed to it, you know?
I guess, but just, I mean...
It all comes down to games. Just like, imagine a conversation you're having with a friend where your friend is thinking, like, you know, I really wanted to play the new Call of Duty, but the PlayStation 4 has, you know, the cloud services, and I really want that. Like, you never hear that conversation happen in your entire fucking life, ever. It'll never happen.
I want CDs.
Or, like, I was going to get the PlayStation 4, but, God, like, the Kinect always on, like, I really want that, you know? Like, it just never happens. People are just going to buy things for games. Like, I want a PlayStation 4 because I really want to play the new Metal Gear Solid, or I'm getting the new Xbox because fucking Battlefield 4, or... the Titan Attack, whatever. Like, I really want those games. I want to play them. That's why people buy the systems. All the other features are just extra bullshit you have to put up with.
Yep, that's exactly it. And hopefully we saw a lot of new games yesterday, so I think that's really going to be the big focus. And
saw a lot of good games.
Yeah, a lot of good games. You know, I think you know, it's just like, you know, a lot of the games, honestly, like, I don't get a chance to play a ton of console these days, so you know, I can't really comment on a lot of just the kind of single player games, but I don't know. Steven probably could. Steven seems to play a lot more, like, let's plays and that sort of thing with others. So,
sure, I don't play that many extra games.
Do you have the console hooked up to your?
No,
your
dude. My Xbox 360 has been upstairs, like, collecting dust for a long time. I don't play shit on it.
My 360 has been in the den with my kids for playing the dancing games, dude. That's pretty much what's been happening to mine.
That kind of does sweetly segue me to the next point, Chairman. Like, what are you... Let's start with you, Steven. I'm not sure if you have a really strong opinion on this, but as a parent, what is your opinion on gaming and children? Like, children playing, do you think it's toxic? Do you think it's healthy? Or is it, like, their golden midden way?
I mean, games in general or specific ones? Like, because...
I'll just say games in general.
Oh, games in general are great. I mean, like, it... Okay, obviously you can do things in too much excess. I mean, anything is that way. Like, if you do... I mean, even if you go, like exercising in, like, in excess and that sort of thing. I mean, that can be bad for you, too, right? So, I don't think, you know, people should play... Like, kids, like, young kids should play, like, 8 hours, 10 hours of, you know, games every day. But, you know, my kids definitely play probably... an hour and a half to 2 hours, maybe an hour and a half of games every day, and you know, they enjoy it. I think the games they play help their thinking too. You know, a lot of them are logic kind of games and based games. Some of them are just, you know, clans-ish, but some of them are puzzle games and that sort of thing. And I think those are actually good for you know, spatial logic type of stuff. And you know, I don't know. It could be just, you know, me rubbing off on them too, sort of thing. So it's hard to tell because, you know, even my kids have some, like, my son has some interest even in programming, you know, like, at a young age. So, it's hard to say. But I think, in general, like, these people that think that video games are terrible, I mean, I'm, of course, not along the lines of that thinking, of course. What do you think, Steven?
I'm pretty much the same thing. I mean, as long as it's not, like, in crazy excess, like, I think video games are fine. I don't believe that my kid is going to be taught everything through media. Like, I would hope that I would instill some kind of good values or ethics or morals or whatever. I don't necessarily buy into the whole, if he plays violent video games, he's going to turn out to be a violent idiot or whatever, because hopefully my kid's not too fucking stupid to tell the difference between reality and a video game. And, I mean, if he is, then whatever, it's social Darwinism anyway. Like, I would be incredibly ashamed for him, regardless. I don't know. I think video games can be really good. I think it's like a passive versus active experience, I think. And I think you can very active and imaginatively play video games. They're not necessarily, like, stifling to your... Like, I hear that a lot. Like, especially in school, people will tell you things like, go read a book, don't play a video game. It's like, I mean, video games can stimulate the imagination just as much as any book could. I read a bit in high school. I didn't read as much because I wasn't a big fan of reading, but I played a fuck ton of video games, and I know there's a lot of them that can work the imagination if you play them in such a way. So, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, like, as when it comes to, like, Call of Duty and that sort of thing, I mean, I have to admit, I don't necessarily steer my, you know, my kids to play, like, realistic violent games right now. It's not that I don't think that at a certain age that, you know, it'll be fine for them to play it, but right now, at a young age, there's alternatives that aren't realistic, you know what I mean? So it's like, you might as well let them play those type of games first. Like, there's, you know, Pokemon games and whatever it is, like Ninja Turtle games or Power Ranger games, whatever they are, right? They're shooters too, but they're just not, don't have that crazy kind of gory realism, right? That, you know, not sure, like, I want to expose my kids at a super young age to quite yet, but, you know, once they become, like, teenagers, it's like, whatever, you know, it's like,
and the
sure,
talk,
not a big deal.
The talk going on in multiplayer games and Call of Duty and Xbox.
Right, what was that?
Some of the talk that maybe goes on in lobbies, Call of Duty multiplayer.
Oh,
I was just hinting at all the cursing, but that was more of a bad joke.
Okay, cool.
And let's take it more back to esports. So we have DreamHack right around the corner, but I'm more interested in what's coming right after DreamHack, where we have the Home Story Cup, which Take is hosting. I've always wondered, Steven, you could maybe answer this a bit more for specific for me. Why is Home Story Cup the best StarCraft II tournament for the players? And I would also say nearly for the viewers, but specifically for the players. What is it that sets us out so much let's take DreamHack.
You get amazing... Wait, let's take DreamHack? Or wait, Home Story Cup?
Oh, yeah, I meant here, Home Story Cup, and then, like, if you look at DreamHack, then how much better Home Story Cup does it.
I mean, I've never been to DreamHack before, but I know that for Home Story Cup, like, the fact that you get, like, these awesome fucking meals every day, because they bring in, like, some chef guy... multiple good meals a day, but usually there's, like, one really awesome dinner every day. The Take guy is really friendly. All the production crew are really friendly. The environment is really laid back.
Oops, my bad. You go.
Chan, man. Oh, my God. The environment is super laid back. All the gamers are hanging out with each other, watching games on TV, playing poker, playing other card games. I mean, like, the environment is just, like, above and beyond.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, all the players love Home Story. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And the
viewers also love Home Story for what it is, as you said. Like, they get to see their players in more of a home environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I personally love the Home Story Cup because of the casual aspect of it. And To get into details, the reason I like the casual side of it is, you know, they just pull on whatever players are just standing around, you know what I mean, and just have them come and join the cast, and it really plays out into a lot of very spontaneous moments, right? Like, whether it's with the MC and the, you know, some of the Korean players for the first time, you know, kind of to see them cast, or it's like Damago or Steven or, you know, whoever. It's kind of that really unplanned feeling to it, which is really cool. And you're starting to see a little bit of that, right, with some of these other productions like IEM, right, with WCS EU. I mean, they're doing, you know, they're having like MC jump on with Apollo to do those, like, that analyst, you know, that analyst segment or whatever, right? Just little things like that, right? Those are really cool. Those are kind of like what we deem as European type of style of production. And I think we need something like that here in the US.
That was my lead-up question. Yeah. Why haven't anyone tried to replicate what Home Story Cup is doing? And then let's just say, why isn't anyone specifically trying it in the USA?
No idea, man. I mean, I don't know. See, I don't know if Take makes money off of it or not. You know, like, the numbers don't compare. I mean, StreamHack still gets way bigger numbers, right, than Home Story, yeah, right? So it's not
true?
Yeah,
Home Story Cup Finals got like 40, 50, 60,000, 70 between two streams. I thought...
Oh, between all the streams? Okay. Was it that high? Wow, I thought it was like 40
I thought it was,
or 50.
40. I thought it was really high, like 70-ish between both streams. I could be wrong on that, though.
Which one? This last one? This one that was in December or January or whatever? Or you mean one you were at?
I don't remember. I thought it was really, really high. I know the one that I was at was like the highest they'd ever hit, and then the one after that was pretty high too, wasn't it?
70 is pretty darn high. 70 is definitely comparable then.
Yeah, I think that you could compare the amount of viewers that DreamHack gets, you could compare that to the amount of viewers that Homestory Cup gets. I think Homestory might get more for the StarCraft side. I could be wrong on that though, because I don't know the Homestory Cup numbers exactly.
Well, I mean, DreamHack is only StarCraft, so it's going to be a direct comparison.
Well, I thought DreamHack got like a big LAN or whatever set up when they play.
Yeah, DreamHack.
Well, they
has
do,
a
but I'm just
Quake
talking.
And...
Yeah, but you're not watching it on stream. I mean, you're just watching StarCraft on stream. You're
DreamHack
just watching
doesn't have any other events. It's only StarCraft.
No, it's a LAN. It is a festival, but the actual production of it, you know, like streaming.
They
production.
Have Quake streams and Dota streams and a lot of other like production level streams.
Oh, it has
from
Dota.
DreamHack.
That's true. It's true. They do. I just don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
it's not just StarCraft.
It. That's true. But we always talk about the numbers in regards to StarCraft. So
yeah, sure.
I mean, this last one, you know, they had Stefano in the finals, you know, and that played out perfectly. So yeah, they got up to like 150 or something like that. But I think before that, it was probably right around 100. So yeah, I mean. Given Take's production cost, I mean, it's probably, I mean, I don't even know how what fraction of the
that
cost
could be
they
like,
are for.
That could be your next climbing the ladder. Get Take on and ask him.
I should get Take on. That's actually a good idea.
Yeah,
okay, I'm going to get Take
how
on.
How his model works and everything, and
actually,
how is he able
that's a really
to...
good idea. That's like next week, right?
Damn, because okay, it would hardly be a player problem, because players love it, so players would obviously show up for an American one, like if it had the same kind of environment and feeling. So
yeah,
it's not that.
I mean, and the production is, you know, it's the production cost is going to be the lowest that you could, you know, that you could possibly get at. I mean, obviously you need an internet connection that's reliable and fast.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, I mean, it's like how many machines does Take really have there? Like, how many computers did he have there, Steven?
I want to say 6 or 7,
yeah,
machines
like
set
nothing,
up in the back room.
It's like nothing. And he probably got it from his sponsors, right? His sponsor, like,
yeah,
MSI or whoever it was. Yeah, I can't remember who it was.
Well, I know he does pay money for, like, the production crew to come out. Like, it's not free. It's not all just
oh, of course
stuff.
Not.
Like, it definitely costs.
But
yeah,
but the machines are probably were
yeah,
just
XMG
on rental,
sponsors
anyway.
The laptops.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they were playing off laptops, too. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All the laptops that the players practice on and everything are,
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, the cost was probably, you know, the lowest you could probably get to when doing a production that's, you know, with top players and that sort of thing. It's in the house, right? You don't have to pay for a venue. And, I mean, the good studios have done something kind of similar, like to a smaller degree, maybe once or twice. And it seemed to work, so... Any of these studios, I feel like, could do it. I guess some of these arenas, you could kind of put those in the same boat.
I just don't think MLG is ever the company to do something like that. They're like very suit and tie professional. We want to look like ESPN sports company.
Yeah, yeah. But the general gist of it is it's not a live event, right? It's pretty much only a streamed event. So whether it's studio or it's house or whatever, it's much cheaper. That's why MLG did it, right? It's because it's much cheaper. So yeah, I mean, I don't know what house. I don't think if anybody has a house they could do it in, like Take's house. But I don't know. There's some small studios kind of popping up. NESL could have done it for sure. Like,
yeah, but they're doing World of Tanks now.
Yeah, Home Story, World of Tanks.
You could stream that, Steven.
Yeah, maybe. It's on the Xbox, isn't it? Or will be?
I'm not sure.
Oh, God. Yeah, maybe. Could be a professional World of Tanks player, man.
Easily.
Need that APM, that 50 APM, man.
It's all about strategy, man.
That's crazy.
Alright, we're getting to the end a lot quicker than I thought, but okay. This isn't exactly esports related, but I saw someone in the comments that wanted to know, and I'm kind of wondering myself as a European, how are you what is your opinions and thoughts on the whistleblowing, like the NSA, the Prison Project, Ed Snowden, and Bradley Manning?
Wow. I don't know. Steve, you want to go first or me?
What happened with Peyton and Bradley Manning? I don't follow any of that shit.
Bradley Manning was the guy who it was later revealed that he was the one that gave a lot of the diplomatic cables to WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's who he is. He's an army guy too. It's kind of awesome. Yeah, there was this talk about how he even got access to all that stuff, right? So, but yeah, with the recent thing with Snowden, I think. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Were you surprised?
Was I surprised that he did it, or was I surprised?
Yeah, were you surprised that it's actually going on at all, or was it just kind of like?
Oh, I'm not surprised. No, I'm not surprised. And I don't know. For me, it's like I'm a little bit not apathetic to it. But I don't really have a strong opinion about it because I'm just kind of one of those guys that if you don't have anything to hide, then. You know, this kind of thing shouldn't matter to you.
Oh God, Chan Man, don't do it.
Dude, I don't want to go down this road. Let's do it.
Just go down. Let's do it.
Let's go. I thought you were talking about a football player. I thought you said like Peyton Manning or some Manning.
No,
something.
We're talking about the NRA. We're talking about fucking.
Yeah, let's talk about football players. I don't know shit about that.
Oh God, you're so stupid.
Come on, Steven, let's go down that road.
I have to get the whole Big Brother talk going, right? I mean, come on.
Haven't you heard that saying? Like, they came for the... Dude, what?
They came for the what?
Hold on. And there was no... Hold on, let me read you a poem. Are you ready?
Here we go. Let's see it. Let's hear it.
First, they came for the communists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the socialists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a trade unionist. I wasn't a trade unionist. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me.
Yeah. Dude, okay, so don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't believe... I mean, I don't think they should be doing it, but for me, I don't feel super strong, like passionately strong about it, just because, you know, I...
Were you born in America?
Yes, of course.
You're an American, right?
Yes, I'm an American.
You're born and bred America, freedom, right?
America, yep, yeah.
Like the Fourth Amendment.
Yes, I know.
Our protection Amendment. From unwarranted search and bullshit.
Yes,
right
yes.
To our persons and all that.
Yep.
Why would you be okay with the government keeping tabs on millions of or hundreds of millions of American citizens? Like, why? In what universe is that ever a good idea? The IRS can't even manage to do their fucking tax bullshit without. Fucking over what the Republican organizations that try to file for like 501c3 tax exempt status, they're like targeting Republicans or some shit. The IRS can't even keep their shit together. Like, why would you trust the NSA?
It's not that, like I said, it's not that I don't think it's right or wrong. It's just, again, I was just saying that I don't feel particularly strong about it just because.
Why don't you feel strongly about it?
I don't know. It's just. You know, it's just something that, just that particular thing, I just don't feel that strongly about it. I don't know why. And obviously you do, so that's, you know, the question should be geared for you.
How do you feel about social healthcare? Obama socialized healthcare.
How do I feel about it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many factors on it, dude. Like,
okay,
let's say it's not even just the most hypothetical, slippery
slope bullshit in the universe. Let's say Chanman Enterprises grew because of your shows that were so amazingly popular, and you had 25 employees, okay? And all of them worked 30 hours a week. And this Obama thing rolls around, and now all these public figures are in the arena to comment. Like, the Papa John's CEO talked about it, blah, 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 blah. Do you think it would change? Let's say that on the side you've done, like, some bad stuff in your past, or, like, there's some shit that nobody really knows about you, but nobody knows. Like, there's bad stuff that you've done. It's been expunged from your record. Nobody really knows about it. But, like, if it got out, it could hurt your reputation for your business.
Yep.
And then you hear about all this Obamacare stuff coming through the line, and you're really, really opposed and you hate it. Do you think that it might be in the back of your mind at all that you wouldn't want to speak out against it, just on the off chance that, like, do I really want to go on record speaking out against an organization that has access to all of this information that could potentially destroy my life?
Well,
would they do it? Like, probably not. But I mean, like, they could. Like, do you really want a giant database of NSA information that could potentially be used by the wrong people at any given time? There are so many implications that go along with, for instance, this guy just pretty much, like, defected from the United States, more or less, right? The NSA guy?
I mean, he was in Hong Kong, right?
So this guy decided to go to the public with what he knew, right? What if he didn't go to the public? What if instead he went to somebody high up in Martin Lee, fuck, what's the name of the place? I should know the name of this. The military private contractor. Lean Martin, or Martin Lied, or Lockheed. Lockheed Martin. What if instead he went up to a really big guy in Lockheed Martin and he said, like, I know that you fucked around, or you've embezzled these funds, or you've done something that you're probably not supposed to do, and so now I just want to know, like, this one piece of information, and I won't tell everybody in your company to destroy your life, you know? Like, he could blackmail him. Like, he could have did that instead of going to the American public. And he's not the only one in that position to do it. Anybody in the government could theoretically possess any amount of information on any American citizen. So it's almost like a national security threat in and of itself, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that all of these are for sure, like, 100% going to happen all the time, 100%, it's always going to be. I'm just saying that the possibility of that existing is something that we shouldn't even have to worry about. Like, it's insane that the NSA could hold so much information on people that they haven't, you know, procured a warrant to go get information on. Like, that's just not anything that I would ever trust any government in the history of mankind to do. Like, there is no government capable of doing that, you know, that I would trust.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that I don't disagree with that, dude.
But you said you don't feel strongly about it.
I don't.
You should feel very, 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 very strongly about it, man. That somebody could have a record of everything that you've done? That's fucked up. You're, like, obviously, as Americans, we take it for granted, but there are some things that the Constitution allots us, like undeniable freedoms that we're given as Americans. And again, we take it for granted because every day we don't even think about it. Yeah. But there is absolutely no fucking reason why the government should ever be keeping a file on me. They have no reason to. It's not. I haven't done anything to break the law. They don't have any warrants to investigate me. And I haven't given them a probable cause to think that I'm a terrorist. There's no reason why they should be building a file on me ever. So the fact that the government might be doing that is like I'm getting fucked in the ass. Like, it's unreal. Even if they never do anything with it, even if it just sits in a warehouse and rots or sits on a disc somewhere and is idle for the rest of eternity, there's no reason why the government should be keeping the file on me if they don't have a reason to. Like, fuck that. It's absolutely insane, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right about that. Yeah, I think you are. It's just, like I said, it's just like, for me, I don't really, like, I think you're right in all everything that you said. Like, I don't think they should be doing that. But for me, I don't know. I just don't feel like a certain way just because I.
Okay, let's. I mean, turn nothing, it a little bit more. Okay, I'll do the low blows. Okay, because we're right, both fathers. Okay, let's say one of your children. Okay, so everything that I'm about to tell you is based on a true story. Okay, and I read some guy. Well, I assume it's true. It could be false. Or whatever. The guy said it was true on the fucking internet. Maybe he's lying. You know, whatever. I mean, I've heard worse stories before that I know are true that you've read in history books that you've heard about. Yep. On the news or whatnot. So, this guy's story was, he had a friend, okay? He had a friend who went with a group of friends to protest some bullshit about, I think it was like animal rights. They were either tired of the way that, they didn't like the way that animals were being slaughtered, or they didn't like that animals were being tested on or something. And so he went with them to protest, you know? And that was it. Like, it was kind of dumb. Nobody thought that it would be a big deal. Nobody really thought much of it. But ever since he went to that protest, they were tagged by the government of whatever state or country they were in as a potential enemy to the state. And after that happened, he got an email from somebody in the government saying, hey, we have this kind of information on your dad, and we could get him fired from his job, okay, if you don't tell us who else was at that protest. And the kid, like, didn't think much of it, like, holy fuck, like, why this is happening, like, it's not even that big of a deal. And it gets to this area, or it gets to this part of his life, to where everybody in his life could potentially be informing on any other person. He had to inform on all of his friends. Anybody could be informing on anybody for anything. You have no idea, like, who you can actually trust, or like, it gets you into, like, this really weird mindfuck. And it all starts with these stupid things, like the government having, like, this infinite ability to spy on you and to log all of your conversations and shit like that.
Yep.
All of these things, it's like really fucked up. It's like really fucked up. It's hard to talk about it without just, like, getting incredibly mad or frustrated. I'm not saying that you should be really mad, but
yeah,
you should be pretty fucking mad. Like, it's just not, like, it's just so fucking wrong that the government thinks that it can keep a file on you for no reason. Like, that's just so incredibly fucked up. And it puts us in such an awkward situation. Like, I hate to be, like, the 1984 guy. It sounds really dumb, but, like, it's unbelievable that the government would do that. Like, that's unfucking real. I don't know.
Are you honestly really surprised?
Am I really surprised that a bunch of people would walk around with conspiracy theories saying things like, the NSA could keep track on all of you all the time? I'm like, man, they probably do it, maybe. I don't know. Like, but for somebody to actually come out who actually worked there and to say, like, I could read the president's emails, like, at any time that I wanted to because of the kind of information that I have access to, like, it's a little bit fucked up. I think it's a little bit fucked up.
Our CIA and just our intelligence in our government, we've known for a long time they're doing a lot of things that we don't know about, right? And it's just, like, it's pretty much in the recent history, just because of internet and just everything, that a lot of things are getting leaked. So for me, I've just gotten to the point where it's like none of this stuff actually surprises me.
Can I read you a wonderful story? Yeah. I butchered that last story that I told. Can I read you a story?
Sure.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. I live in a country generally assumed to be a dictatorship, one of the Arab Spring countries. I've lived through curfews, and I have seen the outcomes of the sort of surveillance now being revealed in the United States. People here talking about curfews aren't realizing what they actually feel like. It isn't about having to go inside and the practicality of that. It's about creating the feeling that everyone, everything, is watching. A few points. Number one, the purpose of this surveillance from the government's point of view is to control enemies of the state, not terrorists. People who are coalescing around ideas that would destabilize the status quo. These could be religious ideas. These could be groups like Anon, who are too good with tech for the government's liking. It makes it very easy to know who these people are, and it also makes it very simple to control these people. Let's say you are a college student and you get in with some people who want to stop farming practices that hurt animals. So you make a plan and you go to protest these practices. You get there and wow, the protest is huge. You never expected this. You were just goofing off. Well, now everyone who is there is a suspect. Even though you technically had the right to protest, you're now considered a dangerous person. With this tech in place, the government doesn't have to put you in jail. They can do something much more sinister. They can just email you a sexy picture you took with a girlfriend, or they can email you a note saying that they can prove your dad is cheating on his taxes, or they can threaten to get your dad fired from work. All you have to do, the email says, is help them catch your friends in the group. You have to report back every week, or your dad might lose his job. So you do. You turn in your friends, and even though they try to keep the meetings off the grid, you're reporting on them to protect your dad. Let's say number one goes on. The country is in a weird place now. Really weird. Pretty soon, a movement springs up like Occupy Wall Street, yep. Except it's bigger than this time. People are really serious, and they are saying they want a government without this power. I guess people are realizing that it is a serious deal. You see on the news that tear gas was fired. Your friend calls you frantic. They're shooting people. Oh my god, you never signed up for this. You say, fuck it, my dad might lose his job, but I won't be responsible for anyone dying. That's going too far. You refuse to report anymore. You just stop going to the meetings. You stay at home, you try not to watch the news. 3 days later, police come to your door and arrest you. They confiscate your computer and phones. They beat you up a bit. No one can help you, so they all just sit quietly. They know if they say anything, they're next. This happened in the country I live in, and it's not a joke. Number three, it's hard to say how long you were in there. What you saw was horrible. Most of the time, you only heard screams, people begging to be killed, noises you've never heard before. You were lucky. You got kicked every day, and then they threw moldy food at you, but no one shocked you. No one used sexual violence on you, at least that you remember. There were some times they gave you pills, and you can't say for sure what happened then. To be honest, sometimes the pills were the best part of the day, because at least then you didn't feel anything. You have scars on you from the way you were treated. You learn in prison that torture is now common, but everyone who uploads videos or pictures of this torture is labeled a leaker. It's considered a threat to national security. Pretty soon, a cut you got on your leg is looking real bad. You think it's infected. There were no doctors in prison, and it was so overcrowded, who knows what you got on the cut. You go to the doctor, but he refuses to see you. He knows if he does, the government can see the records that he treated you. Even you calling his office prompts a visit from the local police. You decide to go home and see your parents. Maybe they can help. The leg is getting really bad. You get to their house, they aren't home. You can't reach them no matter how hard you try. A neighbor pulls you aside and he quickly tells you that they were arrested 3 weeks ago and haven't been seen since. You vaguely remember mentioning to them on the phone that you were going to that protest. Even your little brother isn't there. Number four. Is this really happening? You look at the news, sports scores, celebrity news. It's like nothing is wrong. What the hell is going on? A stranger smirks at you reading the paper. You lose it. You shout at him, "Fuck you, dude. What are you laughing at? Can't you see I've got a fucking wound in my leg?" "Sorry," he says. "I just don't know anyone that reads the news anymore. There haven't been any real journalists for months. They're all in jail. Everyone walking around is scared. They can't talk to anyone else because they don't know who is reporting to the government. Hell, at one time you were reporting to the government. Maybe they just want their kid to get through school. Maybe they want to keep their job. Maybe they're sick and want to be able to visit a doctor. It's always a simple reason. Good people always do bad things for simple reasons. You want to protest. You want your family back. You need help for your leg. This is way beyond anything you ever wanted. It started just because you wanted to see fair treatment in farms. Now you're basically considered a terrorist, and everyone around you might be reporting on you. You definitely can't use the phone or email. You can't get a job. You can't even trust people face-to-face anymore. On every corner, there are people with guns. They're as scared as you are. They just don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want to be labeled as traitors. This has all happened in the country where I lived. You want to know why revolutions happen? Because little by little, things get worse and worse. But these things that are happening now are big. This is the key ingredient. This allows them to know everything they need to know to accomplish the above. The fact that they are doing it is proof that they are the sort of people who might use it in the way I described. In the country I live in, they also claimed it was for the safety of the people. Same in Soviet Russia, same in East Germany. In fact, it's always the excuse that they use it to surveil everyone, but it has never once proven to be the reality. Maybe Obama won't do it, maybe the next guy won't, or the one after him. Maybe the story isn't about you. Maybe it happens in 10 or 20 years from now when a big war is happening, or after another big attack. Maybe it's about your daughter. Maybe it's not about your daughter or son. We just don't know yet. But what we do know is right now, in this moment, we have a choice. Are we okay with this or not? Do we want this power to exist or not? You know, for me, the reason I'm upset is that I grew up in school saying the Pledge of Allegiance. I was taught that the United States meant liberty and justice for all. You get older, you learn that in this country, we define that phrase based on the Constitution. That's what tells us what liberty and justice is. Well, the government just violated that ideal. So if they aren't standing for liberty and justice anymore, what are they standing for? Safety? Ask yourself a question. In the story I told above, does anyone sound safe? I didn't make anything up. These things happen to people I know. We used to think it couldn't happen in America. It couldn't happen in America, but guess what? It's starting to happen. I actually get really upset when people say, "I don't have anything to hide. Let them read anything." People saying that have no idea what they are bringing down on their own heads. They are naive, and we need to listen to people in other countries who are clearly telling us that this is a horrible sign and that it's time to stand up now and say no. That's the end of the story. That's that guy's story. To make it a bit more personal, my mom grew up in Cuba, and she came over here from Cuba. She was only 5 or 6 at the time, but I've heard plenty of stories from plenty of people, plenty of my relatives. I have an uncle who tried to swim to the United States with friends who didn't make it. Like, things are so bad in that country. And I never even thought about it before, but a lot of the things that I've heard about Cuba are the exact same, to where there's always a few people on whatever street you live on that could be reporting to the government that get kickbacks for, you know, telling the government different things about different neighbors in different neighborhoods. And all of that is really troubling to me. As somebody that lives in the United States of America, again, we take for granted the Constitution or our freedoms or all that shit. But it's really troubling that things like that can happen. And again, like, I'm not like shitting on you or anything, but then when you hear people say things like, it's not really that bothersome to me, like, I don't have anything to hide, like, it's so easy to say that now when nothing is going on or nothing necessarily bad is happening. Everybody said that when we did the Patriot Act after 9/11, you know, but when you really stop and think, like, how many people die a year to terrorist attacks? How many people have died this year to terrorist attacks that are United States citizens? Less than 100? How many people died when that embassy was bombed in, I don't even know where it was. Was it Libya? I don't know. When the United States embassy got attacked and a few people died? Like, we lose more people in the United States to deaths in swimming pool accidents. To think that the United States would be taking such an extreme stance on monitoring all of our information when the implications of terrorist attacks on our lives every day are incredibly small is just insanity. Like, it's absolutely insanity, in my opinion. There you go. I love you.
And that's why, you know, and that's why I think it's, you know, it's great that you address this on the show more so than I do, because, you know, like I said, you know, you feel really, really strong about it, and you should, and you can make the claim that I should be too, and I totally, you know, accept that, you know, and you know, we could talk about this offline, man. So it's just, you know, again, in the standpoint of this show and him asking the question, that's kind of why I reacted the way I did. So
okay, sorry. All right, well, that was my soapbox and spill and whatever.
Okay, so okay, let's kind of finish it off. Which is, so what do you think he should do? Like, how do you think like the government should be reacting to him leaking it? I mean, because obviously,
I don't give a fuck about him anymore. I don't think we can do shit. I think everybody's too complacent and doesn't give a fuck anyway.
What the fuck, dude?
Yeah, how sad is that?
I mean, what
I'm really apathetic.
I mean,
no, you... How mad are
you?
Oh
my
god,
you've taken my role all of a sudden,
yep,
dude.
Yeah, pretty much, man.
I
how
mean...
sad is that?
Kewen, what do you think, man? You're the person that asked the question.
Yeah, it's
he's like asleep, dude. He's asleep
after
this.
No, I was here all the time. I listened. I was just don't want to interrupt when he's going on with that, because I would say most of it's true. It's just really hard for me to, I would say, make a really good opinion on it, because as I said, I'm not American, so it doesn't really affect me as much, but it's probably going on here in Denmark as well, so
one of the things that a lot of people don't consider is the United States, regardless of, you know, suck our dick, we're the biggest country, the United States sets precedents around the world. When people talk about our military budget, the United States doesn't spend fucking, what, $600-700 billion a year on our military? We don't spend that for us. The United States spends that because we do a lot of things around the world on behalf of a lot of different countries sometimes. Our military budget isn't representative of just defending our own country. It's defending, what's the line? Defending American interests at home and abroad. There's a lot of stuff that our military does and a lot of ways that we help other countries. And I'm not trying to conspiracy, blah, 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 blah. But it wouldn't surprise me if, like, we do a lot of training in soldiers in Israel. You know, we share a lot of our military technology and stuff with people like that. Why wouldn't we, if not licensed, then help other countries also when it comes to things like military surveillance? Like, it's not totally crazy to think that a lot of the work that we're doing on our own surveillance system isn't being shared in some
replicated
ways with other countries,
sure.
You know?
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
The United States does set precedents and it does do a lot of influencing in the way that militaries around the world operate. And I think that's really important to consider too, especially because you said, like, as a European, you know, it might not affect me that much, but I mean, it might, you know?
Yeah,
and I'm talking about, like, the free Europe, not just the people that live in the oppressed totalitarian kingdom known as the United Kingdom, but, like, even countries where you're from, like you said, Denmark, you know, could one day be experiencing things like what we go through in the United States.
We do a lot of military work with the USA anyway, so it's probably to also share intelligence. But I mean, that was my last question, so if you want to bring on the next guy, which name I forgot, I think it's about that time.
That was a doozy to end with. Oh my god. Alright, so okay, let me see if he's around. Hold on, just stay on here real quick. So Kayokin's going to be our next interviewer, but Kewen, thanks for asking those questions, you know, having those questions ready and everything, and hope you had a good time.
Had a great time.
All right. Awesome, buddy. All right, take care, man.
I love you, buddy.
Later. Hold on, let me switch over real quick. Let me get Kayokin in here real quick. Actually, let me go to a break real quick. We'll be back in just 1 second. Hold on.
Hello? Okay.
Dude, you just talked. All right, next up, guys, we got Kay Okun, who's going to be our second interviewer. For those of you who don't know Kay Okun, he's actually a really good Star Trekkers player. So you've probably seen him maybe on Kings of Ten playing with Wheat and those guys. But Kay Okun, you there?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up, man? All right, dude, so you got questions for us?
Yeah, you guys ready for them?
Yeah, I think we're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. So I love to eat food, so do you like to eat McDonald's? If so, what is your favorite food there, and why?
Do you want to go first, channel man?
Sure. McDonald's, God, I mean, obviously... My kids like McDonald's. My favorite food is... Fuck. Probably the fries still. I mean, the fries I think are still...
What the fuck?
Better tasting fries than... It's a childhood thing, man. I can't get over it.
What kind of answer is that? The french fries?
Come on, dude. What else at McDonald's is better than everywhere else?
That's just a really strange answer, I guess.
Is that a... What? That's not a strange answer, dude. That's easily the French fries are by far the best. Or wait, did you ask what my favorite thing is, or did you ask what I eat?
I said favorite food.
Yeah, favorite food. It's got to be fries there. Fries are probably the best thing there for me.
Okay.
What about you?
I like the Ranch Club chicken sandwich. It comes with Swiss cheese and bacon and ranch. That's the shit.
Is that new?
No, what the fuck? You have to ask for a club. The club sandwich, and then you get bacon on it.
Holy shit, man. I didn't even know they had all that shit. Kayo, what's your favorite thing at McDonald's?
Personally, well, they had this thing that was there. I forgot what it was called. It got taken off the menu. So I just decided to go with the Big Mac meal, maybe large, and some Diet Coke, just to be a little bit healthier.
Okay.
Good choice.
Yes. All right. So, here's the next question.
All right, I'm ready.
So, as you all guys know, I'm a Star Strikers player. So, what do you think about the map, the Star Strikers?
Steven, what do you think?
Seems like fun. I myself don't play it, but it seems like a fun map.
Bastard doesn't play it every time I ask him to.
I don't know, I'm mad at you.
I think Star Strikers is... pretty cool. I mean, speaking seriously, I think Star Strikers is a bit intriguing for me right now because I think it has a lot of attributes of an accessible and somewhat watchable game. So, you know, me doing that event last week with KO here and a lot of the other Star Strikers players and pros and personalities, I think was pretty eye-opening because the games at the highest level are pretty darn impressive. So, hopefully you'll see some more events from me soon, and we'll see some more guys like KO kind of showing how badass he is.
Is Star Strikers the next Dota?
It's not the next Dota because it doesn't have the complexity of Dota, but the thing is it's super accessible given that it's soccer. It has the StarCraft II angle. It has the control of a MOBA, and it has the kind of the teamwork of a MOBA too with the special powers and such. So. I don't know. I think it's somewhat intriguing, actually, believe it or not. I can't believe I've been saying that recently, but I have been saying that to a lot of people recently, so. Yep, anyways.
Alright. If you had to choose, would you fight, let's go with a bigger number here, 100 duck-sized dinosaurs or one dinosaur-sized duck? Why?
Oh my god. I'd fight 100 duck-sized dinosaurs because one dinosaur-sized duck would crush me like in one step.
Yeah, I would go with that.
I'd have a chance. I'd have a chance at least against all those...
Yeah, you just step on them, right?
Just start batting them around. Or at least you could run from them. They can't catch you.
Do you know when the bacon nanny was or whatever? Did I fuck that up?
What?
What? I don't know. Fuck,
the
man.
Bacon nanny laws. What?
It's like a saying. It's like, when does the bacon nanny... Naniwa or Narnia? When does the bacon Narnia? The narwhal's bacon.
Narwhal's bacon, yeah.
When does the narwhal bacon? Or when is the narwhal? I don't know. That's like the thing, though. Do you know the answer?
No, I don't.
Okay, I don't either.
God. All right,
okay,
next.
Sorry, ready.
Okay. Would you rather have very long arms or very long legs, and why?
You take this one, Dan.
Very long arms, definitely. Your arms are like the cornerstone of being a fucking human, dude. The ability to manipulate things with their thumbs is awesome, right? What are we going to do with long legs? You just fall longer. With longer arms, you could walk on all four things like gorillas. You could potentially run faster. Be fucking awesome. And yeah, hell yeah.
Dude, depending how long your arms are... I mean, if they're too long, wouldn't that be problematic?
Not as problematic as two long legs, but at least with, like, your arms, you can just, like, fold them and, like, tuck them and shit. You can make, like, overalls or something to hold your arms if they were, like, too long. But if you had really long legs, you're just like, fuck.
No, but, like, if your arms are too long, how the fuck do you eat? Like,
you,
I mean,
bend
with your
them.
Hands?
You have elbows.
No, but if your elbows are way the fuck... I mean, if your arms are super long... It depends on what you mean
I'm
by
assuming,
long.
No. I'm assuming mean, that you like, keep the same proportions. Even if you double the length of the arm, then you would double the distance between the elbow and the end or whatever. Like, it would still be proportional, so you could still bend it and bring it to your face. Right?
If it's proportion, yeah, I agree with you. But if it's not, if it's too long, I don't know, man. I think I might prefer longer legs.
What are you going to do with longer legs, though?
It's not so much as what I can do with longer legs, it's just like it's less problematic than longer arms.
You wouldn't even be able to walk if you want to talk about losing proportions and shit. Imagine if your knee is like ankle. Dude, how fucking sick would it be? One thing that I think they should do when they get, like, genetic modifications, they should make it so that we walk with, like, reverse knees. That would be so badass. You know what I mean?
What, to reverse knees?
Do you know what, like, reverse knees are?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be just sick as
that
shit.
That would be bad. Yeah, that would be definitely... I mean, so some people... Do people have double-jointed knees? No, right? Man, your ligaments can't bend like that, right? There's no way. Nope.
I'm sure somebody does. I mean, like, of all the weird genetic disorders, I'm sure one person does.
Yeah, yeah. No, but yeah, for me, I think, you know, unless it's like, if it's completely out of proportion, I'd prefer longer legs just because I think a lot of things that I do, like imagine typing at your keyboard if your arms are completely, like, super long. I mean, you'd need a giant monitor. I mean, you have to be a lot further away.
Imagine if you walk into a public restroom to take a piss and now everybody looks up and sees your dick up there because you're too tall for the, like, dividers.
What's the difference? I'm going to be fucking looking at my...
How would you not, though? Some guy walked in and there's just, like, this river pouring from above.
It's not like you're going to be living... If you have long, super long legs or super long arms, you're not going to be living a normal life, okay? So...
With long arms, you could.
Well, okay, I mean, in that regard, you could piss in urinals, sure, alright, I'll give you that.
Imagine for long arms, you have to, like, do the gutters or some shit, you just, like, reach up and fucking do that shit. You got huge arms, you can do it, you can do, like, anything. Imagine all the cool shit you could do. Imagine you're stuck in traffic and some guy in front of you is being an asshole, you could reach out your window and fucking tap the car or some shit. Or if you drive by, you can reach through and, like, smack his window or some shit.
Mr.
There's so much more shit you could do with long arms.
Mr. Fantastic, dude, yeah. Alright, maybe you've convinced me, maybe.
Alright, thanks.
Alright, would you rather have big dog ears or a fairy's wings, and why?
I mean, the wings?
What?
Would be awesome.
You know,
yeah.
Can you fly with the wings?
What the hell are you gonna do with dog ears?
Of course.
Then hell yeah, you would fly.
Of course, I'll take wings any day.
No, like, super hearing? You don't like that?
No.
No.
Compared to flying?
I think I would take flying any day over super hearing.
Alright. What do you guys like better? Mashed potatoes or mashed potatoes?
Oh my god.
Mashed potatoes?
Mashed potatoes.
Yes, those are pretty good.
God. All right. What's next?
What superpower would you rather have? X-ray vision or being invisible? Why?
Probably being invisible.
For sure.
Because you could be invisible. Fuck.
I don't see that much. X-ray vision. I don't see that much utility in X-ray vision, honestly.
Yeah.
Invisible, you could do all kinds of things. I mean,
hell yeah.
You could just, even if it's just like the alone time, man. Just whenever you want, man. Just like turn invisible and just take off somewhere. Invisible. I love how everybody's talking about invisible rape on the fucking chat. Nice, guys. They've been watching that. What was that movie? That invisible. What was that movie with? It was like Invisible Man type of movie. Didn't have Kevin Bacon in it or something? What was that? Hollow Man. Yeah. Hollow Man. That's probably what they're thinking. Next.
Okay. What would you rather do? Dodge cars, dodge horses, or dodge debris?
What's the last one?
Dodge debris.
Debris?
Yes.
What kind of debris is dodge debris?
Like it raining from the clouds or what the fuck?
Maybe like some nails or dirt. Maybe a car from a tornado or something.
So would we rather dodge cars? Cars from a tornado?
the debris part.
Oh my god. Okay, so from a tornado, would you rather dodge a car, a horse, or debris? Is that what you're saying?
That can work, yeah.
Shit. I'd dodge either a car or a horse. It's probably a horse. A horse is probably smaller than a car, so I'd dodge a horse.
Yeah, sure. And if the horse hits you in some parts, it could be kind of soft, maybe, hopefully.
Yeah, and debris can be freaking anything. That can poke your eye out or kill you or break your will. I mean, it can be anything. Even like a little screw could fuck you up, man.
Alright. So, I'm gonna... I do some impersonations... So I just want to know your opinion about the Kermit the Frog voice that I'm about to do. Are you guys ready?
We're ready.
Okay, ready.
Hi, guys. I'm Kermit the Frog. I like to play Star Strikers. It's not easy being green. Okay, there it is.
I would have to, on a scale, do you want a scale, like, out of 10? Or, like, out of 5?
We'll do 10 being the best.
Okay.
Okay.
And 0 being the worst, I would probably give that a 0. Do you want to do a scale out of 5 next?
yeah, let's see what the 5 is.
Out of 5, I'd probably give it a 0, I think.
Yeah.
I am very sad.
Okay.
You don't sound any different than you sound right now, dude.
Let's do the next one.
Is that
okay.
It?
Okay. I like songs, so tell me what you think about Taylor Swift.
On like a scale out of 10 or out of 5 or...
Oh, man.
Or just opinions, anything.
I think she's very hot.
I agree with that.
My daughter listens to her a lot.
Just, never mind.
She could be listening to her, so...
Damn.
She's fine. She's wholesome. How about that?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh my god, okay. How many more we got here, man?
Like 5 more?
What? Alright.
So I like sports. Do you like the NBA? What is your favorite team? If so, why?
Steven, you follow the NBA?
No fucking idea. I like the Lakers because it's the only team I can fucking name.
I don't really have a team that I super, like, follow really closely anymore. I used to be a Houston Rockets fan because I was from Houston, but the team I probably follow the most is Miami, the Heat, because I live down here, so.
Okay. So, if you guys had the chance to go on a date with any person in the world, who would you choose?
I'd probably go with Taylor Swift.
Good choice.
I don't know. Maybe. God, I don't even know. Maybe Mila Kunis. How about Mila Kunis? How about throw that out?
My
good.
Oh, that girl, I know her. She voices Megan, Family Dude, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Alright, who else? She's on That 70s Show, that girl. Who else? What else, man?
Next question?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think it would be a good idea to impress people, particularly the ladies, to show gaming skills, particularly the Star Strikers?
What?
Yeah, definitely, man. You can impress tons of chicks playing Star Strikers.
Maybe. I don't even know who. I don't even know if there's any. No, not a good tool to impress chicks, man.
Damn, you say no?
Not yet. Alright, what's next, man?
Okay. Would you rather be an alien, a cheetah, a cat, or a dog?
I mean, an alien? Sounds like the only intelligent thing on that list, so...
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, either... Yeah, I think an alien.
Aliens are awesome. Okay.
Alright, last one.
I'm going to sing a sample song. I just want to know what your opinion is. Okay, here goes. All day I think of you. Will you be my baby? Just trust me and we can go. Okay, there it is.
Scale of 1 to 10 again?
Sure.
I'd have to give it a 0, buddy.
Damn. Harsh as fuck, Chan, man.
I don't even know what song it is.
You don't recognize it? Yeah, I made it up. It was an original work.
Oh, though. It's an original. Alright, I'll give you 1 point for original.
Thanks.
Alright, buddy. Well, is that the last question?
Yes.
Alright, KO. Well, thank you for coming on with your...
Thank you!
...very interesting questions. And we'll talk to you next time.
All right, thanks.
Later. Okay, that was...
There won't actually be a next time, will there? You were joking, right?
What?
There won't actually be a next time, will there? You were joking, right?
I don't know if there'll be a next time, given. Well, definitely not next time with Kaoken, that's for sure. Oh, my God. All right, let's see. What else do we do? All right, we got to...
Let's we should have one more topic on our show. I mean, the difference between... being funny and trying to be funny. Do you want to talk about that for a little bit?
Okay, sure. You go. I'll let you take it.
So here's an example of being funny, okay?
Oh, boy.
Here's an example of being funny.
Oh, boy.
Let's say you have 4 investors and you're, like, hopelessly behind in a game. You drop them on the enemy base and shit, and you win a game you never should have won. You call them the 4 Faster Hit Squad. Like, that's pretty funny shit. Like, group of investors going around saving the world. That's pretty funny. So, why is it funny? It's funny because we've personified the investors. Like, oh, they're like, it's not just random units now. They're 4 fucking, they're like a group of people that go around like the A-team, like kicking ass and winning games. It's like the 4 Faster Hit Squad. It's fucking hilarious. Winning Real. Games that should never be won against all odds, you know? It's like the perfect story. The tropes are there. Like, it's great. It's funny shit, right? It's funny shit, right? Do you understand?
Right. It's funny.
Funny shit. Funny shit, okay? Now, let's look at something that would not be funny, okay? Now, it's really easy to not be funny because you take elements of things that you see are funny without understanding how they all come together at the end and understanding why they're funny, but you just take certain elements out and then you don't get the funny. So, like, an example of that, like going on a show with a voice changer, and the voice is pretty funny, but then, like, not having anything funny at all to say... that would be an example of what's not funny, you know? Because the voice changer is something that can be used in a funny way, and I'm sure in the past it's probably been used to do funny things, but the material has to be funny too, you know? It would be like the hottest chick in the world who doesn't have a vagina, and like you go to fuck her and it's just like, it's just covered, and there's just like nothing there, and you're like, what? You, like, it just doesn't, like, you understand, like, it's got like some of the parts, but it doesn't really work that way. You know, like it's a package. Humor comes in packages, not in individual elements. You know.
Nope, I'd agree with that. I would agree with that.
There you go.
So you're saying he wasn't funny?
I didn't say that. I was just talking about humor. Are you trying to take what I just said?
I'm just asking if you're insinuating anything.
I wasn't insinuating anything. You're the one who's insinuating, implying insinuations, or insinuating implications, you know? I wasn't doing any of that. I was just saying.
Oh, my God. All right, let's take some questions from you guys in the Reddit thread. I know some people
we did enough of that already.
No, all right, you don't. We'll actually ask some real questions. Oh my gosh, let's see. E3's already been talked to. You going to play EVE Online, Steven?
I want to, but I probably never will. Way too much of a time investment.
Exactly. Oh, so many questions. Steven, are you getting a PS4?
Probably not, but maybe. I'm not sure. We'll see. It all depends on what games come out. Fuck, the Metal Gear Solid 5 game really makes me want to, but I'm not sure.
Steven, why do you not use a capture card anymore? Is it a hassle, or is OBS just that good?
OBS is really good, and my processor is really good, and the capture card limits you to 30 FPS if you're doing 1080p.
Oh, yeah, that's a big... big, big difference here. What do you guys think about swearing and cursing around your kids?
I don't care much at all. I've placed way more importance on ideas rather than words.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I don't do it on purpose, but I definitely do sometimes.
Way to go, channel man.
Okay, how does popular streamer start out exactly? I know this question has been asked a lot of times, but I want to be a bit more specific. I mean, let's say someone is challenger tier in League of Legends, has a personality funny as fuck and a beast computer for streaming. But how do you start from there? None of that matters when you have zero viewers watching. How do you start grabbing a handful of viewers, post stream link on Reddit, LOL forums, spam your stream in other stream chats? How did Champion Destiny start getting first viewers?
Yeah,
he has a blog about this, right?
Yeah, just go read like my journey in streaming, and I talk about like all the shit that I did.
Yeah.
Starting out. To break in now, I mean, you just have to start streaming, tell your friends, ask your friends to watch your stream, and then hopefully friends of those friends watch it, bring it up on some forums or whatever without being obnoxious about it. I don't know, figure out ways to do it. Fuck.
Yeah. I mean, that's the hardest part is obviously the beginning when you have no following, but I'm assuming you have some type of social circle that you can, you know, tell your friends about. And I mean, you can try posting. There's all these threads, right, that you see on Reddit where it's like Bronze League just starting off streaming, you know, and some of those things, and they end up making front page sometimes. So
there's
it's like crazy things like that.
You believe in yourself,
oh my God,
you can do anything you want. Can I give you
high five?
No. Can I give you a video link?
Oh goodness. He's just all about resources today, man.
Somebody, all right,
let's see it.
Somebody link me the video to the gay black guy.
Oh, that's not vague. What the hell is that, man?
Here you go. I have this guy. Fuck. What an amazing... this guy, okay? I linked you a YouTube link, okay?
To me? Okay.
Yeah. Four or five months ago, this guy is a no-name nobody, okay? I don't think anybody knew him in League at all. He was fucking no one.
Oh, yeah, I know this guy. Yeah.
Total fucking no-name. He's okay. Mediocre skilled. I think he's, like, in Plat League, maybe? I think he said he's Plat 5. So, incredibly run-of-the-mill. And then that's it. Nothing too impressive. If you go look at all of his earlier videos, he's got like 10k views on some of them now, but that's because he's really famous now. So nothing too big, and then bam.
So you had a really tough day.
Was loud.
So you what? Come
oh, sorry. So 3 months ago, this guy comes out with a video. And you play some League. Five reasons why your jungler hates you. Okay. Wrong. Can we watch this video?
Yeah, which one?
Watch this video on stream. I sent it to you. 3 minutes and 30 seconds. He was unknown. Nobody really knew who the fuck he was before this video, okay? Okay, let's just watch this video on stream, okay? For 3.5 minutes.
Alright. Let me get to it. Okay, begin.
I'm a newly platinum jungle main in League of Legends. You probably don't know who I am, but I know who you are.
Yep.
You the type of nigga? That gets blue buff instead of dragon. That aces the team and says, Wraiths look really good right now. That tries to change the meta by going AD Bruiser Karma top, or whatever Void Boy just got done playing. So here's to you. These are 5 reasons why I hate you. No, I'm serious. I hate you. I really fuck. 1. If you want a gank, you need to pick a champion that isn't awful. If you pick a champ with, I don't know, no CC, no huge burst, in melee range that needs summoners to kill, you better be lucky we take that nigga's flash, let alone his light. 2, if I gank your lane successfully and he dies, I'ma take a few minions. It's called minion tax. Better pay your taxes or else I'm not gonna gank for you. Minion tax works like this. I gank your lane, you give me minions. You pay your taxes, you get ganks. You don't pay your taxes, my bad if I let him know in all chat whether or not your shit's warded, and if Xin Zhao comes out the cuts.
First blood. Ripple kill.
3. Do not judge me by my smiting ability. Niggas miss smite. Accidents happen. Look at slavery. Oops. You know, shit happens. Now, I know your argument, but it deals a thousand
damage. I've never seen this video, dude.
Attack. Let's break apart what smite actually is. It's a move that has a cooldown.
What?
That does damage. What? Based on your level. If the enemy jungler is a higher level, their smite is more powerful. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but other attacks damage those objectives as well. For example, champions that can do heavy damage to Baron and Dragon include, but are not limited to, everyone. 4. You don't ward, and then you get mad at me when you get ganked a lot. For example, let's say you're Fiora top. Heaven forbid that the opponent hits tab and sees that you didn't even buy one ward, so they know it's not warded. They come up, and you're Fiora, so you don't have an escape, and you get ganked, and you go 0-8, and you're like, oh, our shitty jungler never ganked. I'm sorry that you don't get the concept of warding, but I'm gonna go pay attention to lanes who aren't retarded. And 5. My job isn't to win your lane. My job is to secure objectives, ward their jungle, and then if any ratchet-ass lane gets out of line, go snatch some weaves. That's my job. Junglers know whether or not you are just a shit laner or not. If it's 10 minutes in and you're just hitting your 10th creep, we're not going up there to save you. You clearly don't know how to play this game, so we're gonna go gank for the Caitlyn who has 97 CS at 10 minutes. Good job, Caitlyn. Good for you. It's for the better of the team. We as junglers, we try to think about what's best for the team. And if you're up there beating Sin,
that's good.
All right,
that's good. That's good. That's good. Okay, so this guy posted the video, what, 3 months ago?
3 months ago, okay. So, video editing isn't very impressive. He's got text, it's funny, right? He's got text, and he does the jump cut thing, okay?
Yeah.
Nothing that, I could learn how to do this in Vegas tonight, okay? Literally, I could go and learn how to do it in Vegas tonight. It's not that hard. It can't be that hard. So, the technical skills are hard. In terms of his ability at the game, he's plat 5. It really doesn't even matter what league he's in, though, because we're not asking to prove his skills, right?
Nice.
But his video was moderately funny, and he seems to have a really good delivery, and now look at his channel.
Yeah, his channel's...
He's got 107,000 subscribers. He's got almost twice as my Remember Tomorrow Zero channel.
That's true.
100,000 subscribers, dude.
How many videos does he have?
Not even that many. Maybe 40 videos, including all the really old ones that nobody really watched.
Right, right. Actually, I wonder how his old videos... Did they actually end up getting views later?
Yeah, they did.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty example. I mean, that production is about as low...
This is a great example of... You hear everybody say, like, I can't break into anything, I can't do blah, 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 it's impossible, it's saturated, blah, 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 blah. This guy with pretty basic editing skills, incredibly basic editing skills and jump cuts with a mediocre quality camera, could be any fucking webcam, made a funny video, posted in a line, a lot of people liked it, and that's what he does. And now he's got a YouTube channel with 100,000 subs. He's more successful than 90% of the people that ever try to do anything on YouTube, you know?
Exactly, exactly.
So I'm not saying that, like, you got, now everybody runs to YouTube and tries to make a funny video or whatever, because obviously not everybody has the ability to do it. I'm just saying, like, if you have a really good or funny idea, like, there are ways to fucking market it, like...
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Helps to be...
Black and gay?
And funny. of all things. Okay, well, how about one more question? I think we're all questioned out today, man. This experiment was interesting, to say the least. Let's see. Looking at possible questions here. What? Why do you think Team Liquid picks up Dota 2 but not Team Liquid? What the hell?
He meant but not League of Legends.
What?
Go down to that question. He meant not League of Legends.
Oh, not League of Legends.
I think it's because the StarCraft community hates League so much that Team Liquid is really scared to, like, associate itself with it. But it's really funny. Go to Team Liquid's website.
All right, go in there. Let's go there. All right.
Put your mouse over other and read what it says. Just hover your mouse over other and read what it says.
Yeah.
Other games includes LOL.
Includes LOL. Yeah.
Like, they're so scared to put, like, a LOL section or something on the website. I have no idea why, if it's just because the StarCraft 2 community, like, hates League so much here. But it's really funny, but I don't know.
Well, they used to, right? They used to have at least the League category for the streams.
No, they do. They...
But...
Actually, that's something new that they started. They have had a League category, I think, for streams now.
Didn't they have... They had one at...
No way.
Oh, no, they just had a... They had... Before they revamped it, right? They had the League game that you could associate with, right?
Yeah, but there wasn't, like, a League category, although now they find...
You're right. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think it has a lot to do with, obviously, Team Liquid. Team Liquid, right, has a Dota 2 team now, too.
Yeah.
If they had a League team, who knows if they decided to venture into both. Sure. But
again, I think Team... I don't even know. I don't know. I don't want to talk shit, or I'm not talking shit, but I don't want to say anything that might be really wrong. But it just seems really weird to me. The only thing I could possibly guess is that they're really scared about big backlash from the StarCraft 2 community.
Yeah, I mean, Dota 2 definitely translates, or from the standpoint of community, right?
Yeah. More people in StarCraft, like,
just because it's a higher skill cap type of thing. All right, well, we'll kind of call it a day. What'd you think of the experiment? What'd you guys think of the experiment of having you guys come on and do interviews?
You want me to give it out of 10 or out of 5?
Oh, Jesus, out of 5. Let's bear the low numbers. Thumbs down, exactly, okay.
First guy was 2 out of 5, or 4 out of 10, 5 out of 10, 6 out of... The first guy was okay. Last guy was not.
Dude, I mean, I agree. It could have been better, for sure. But, you know, those were the limited number of, sets of questions we had, or availability we had for folks. So, tried. We tried. Kind of wanted to get you guys more interactive in this show, but we're gonna have to try again, like, a lot later. We'll go back to business as usual next week.
I think
week.
It has to be kept about current events, because otherwise we hear the same questions that have been asked, like, a million times.
Yeah, and that's a problem. Like there were other folks that sent in questions, too, but the problem is that there was a lot of stuff that we had already talked about. And all these
I know. So. That's what I'm saying. It has to be, like, about events and shit.
Yeah. So, maybe next time, at least you guys have seen what we do. Maybe more of you guys will participate and send in questions, but we'll figure it out. We'll figure out more ways to get you guys involved, not just sit here and watch us all the time. But want to do any shout-outs, man?
Thanks to...
Get on camera, man. You're, like, off camera.
Fuck you, man. Why don't you recenter me then, motherfucker?
I can't even recenter you because you're not even on Skype.
I
want
to give shout-outs to Phoenix because they're awesome and they have me a mouse and a mouse pad and hopefully a fucking keyboard soon, which will be sick as shit. I want to give a shout-out to my mom for giving birth to me because she's awesome. I want to give a shout-out to Chanman's mom. You know why. I want to give a shout-out to... Brandon from the CRT League, which hopefully I should be playing in next month.
Nice.
And I'm going to give a shout out to all my friends. And that's it.
Your friends. Okay. Awesome. Yeah, shout out from me. A big shout out to obviously Steven and for doing this every week with me. Shout out to our two interviewers today. They're definitely interesting, but, you know, I appreciate you guys being kind of our guinea pigs. And a big shout-out to all the viewers for checking it out. I know a lot of things are going on today, so, thanks for coming and watching and putting up with the shenanigans on the show today. But, let's see, next week we'll be back, right? Are you good for next week?
Maybe, if I feel like it.
Alright, fuck you. Next week we'll be back.
I'm probably putting together three systems over this next week and a half, and
Okay.
There's two interesting... Well, I'm going to be... I think two of them are going to be Haswell builds, which would be fun because I've never seen or played with that before.
What is it? What kind of builds?
Haswell is the new CPU architecture by Intel, like the 4770, the 4670.
Okay.
One of them, though, is somebody that wanted to build a computer for streaming. She says that she's comfortable building it, like she thinks she can do it, but she doesn't actually know if she's comfortable doing it. She thinks she can, but she's not sure. So I'm going to be walking her through it via Skype video.
Oh my god.
And that'll be an interesting stream, I think.
That could be a long stream, dude.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. I'm thinking about what I might actually do. I'm still thinking, I might just buy like a case and I think some RAM. Because I still got almost like a full other system, my old system, my 2600K build. I might buy computer parts myself and just put that together at the same time that she's doing hers so that I have something to reference and then I'm not just like sitting.
Just gonna walk. Yeah, that's good. That's definitely good.
Yeah.
That'd definitely be good. Okay, cool. Yeah, so check that out, guys, on his stream. Twitch.tv/ is it Steven_Bonnell or is it Destiny? I forget. Jeez.
It's Steven_Bonnell. Just go to Destiny.gg and click Twitter. Hell yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Destiny.gg. That's even easier. But go ahead and follow us on Twitter at ChamMV, at Steven_Bonnell. And if you like the this show isn't a good representation of the show, so if you're tuning in for the first time, definitely tune in next week to see that. Or check out the VODs.
Permanently alienated so many fans.
I know, dude. It's just like fucking like everybody tuned in is like, fuck this shit. It's boring as fuck. Or whatever. But check out the VODs if you've never seen it before. Follow the channel if you like all the shows. Wednesday night, surprise tomorrow night. Thursday is going to be climbing the ladder. And I might actually see if there's a chance. Okay, so there's a chance I might have. Well, I'm lining up a guest right now, but if I can't line him up, then maybe I'll ask Tay, because that's actually a good idea, because I've never had Tay on my shows before. So, and Homo Story Cup is next weekend. Not this weekend, but next weekend, I think. So, be perfect timing. So anyways, check those out. And you can find all the VODs at youtube.com/ChamMV, and I will upload the VOD immediately after we go off the air today. But okay, so for ChamMV and Destiny, we will see you next time. Later.